You know, this is one of my favorite Sundays of the year when our students, our kids, our children get to teach us. And what they shared with us was something that, again, that you've already heard Pastor Sally share that we hope you take with you. I just want to just encourage us with a few words before we all take off. But you know, there was instructions for us today. And the instructions were to shout it out. Shout it out. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, shout out what? What are we supposed to shout out? Well, if you were listening this morning, we're called to shout out the good news. Well, then we have to ask ourselves, well, what's the good news? The good news is that Jesus was born. And the good news is that Jesus lived an incredible sinless life. The good news is that Jesus grew up and became a man who became the new covenant for us. The good news is that he was crucified, he suffered, and he died on a cross. And the really, 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 really good news is that on 3 days later, he was risen. This is the good news. This is what we're called to shout out. And the best part is we don't have to just shout it out with our words. We can shout it out with our lives as well. We don't even have to say anything. It does help when you use words. But our lives should be a representation of shouting it out to the world around us. So the question I have for you, and this is going to be maybe a little bit of an odd question, but where were you when the Cubs won the World Series? Do you remember where you were? Many of you remember. Now, if you're a Cubs fan, you definitely remember. If you're not a Cubs fan, just listen for a few more minutes. But I remember my wife and I were sitting in the living room, and we were watching this seventh game of the World Series that the Cubs were in after 108 years. And all of a sudden, there was this rain delay, and we thought, what do we do now? Because it could keep raining, we could go to bed, but what if we miss it? And not only did we really, I mean, we thought to ourselves, you know, it might be another 108 years before our kids get to see this. So we actually ran upstairs, we woke our kids up, and we brought them down to watch the Cubs win the World Series. Isn't that awesome? Some of you are like, that's terrible parenting. What? They need to get rest. But folks, it could be another 108 years. We hope that it's not. We hope they do it sooner than that. But the reality is, some things are worth waiting for. Because when they happen, joy is the only emotion to describe it. Some things are worth waiting for. If you watch some of the YouTube videos of people celebrating when the Cubs won the World Series, my favorite was an 81-year-old father who was sitting in his chair, and his son got his camera out, his phone, and he knew that this was an historic moment for his father. So all of a sudden, he turns the phone over to his dad, and the last out was had, and the father jumps out. Well, he didn't jump very quickly, but he got out of the chair, and he just kept looking at everybody, and he kept saying, they did it! They did it! And then he was asking, did they do it? Did they do it? And the son, you know, who was an adult man himself, was so excited to see his father experience this, really for him, possibly a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Because the reality is, some things are worth waiting for. Because when they happen, joy is the only emotion to describe it. Joy is the only way to describe how Elizabeth felt after finding out that God was going to provide her a son. Even at being 88 years old, joy is what filled her soul. Joy is what brought in the story of Jesus. If we look at the story of Luke, it doesn't start out with the story of Jesus. Luke 1 starts with the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. The ushering in of John the Baptist, who, as the scripture would point out, was amazing in his own self. And then we get to see then later in Luke 2 the story that Miss Oliver read to us this morning. Because that's the really, really good news. Can you imagine Elizabeth's joy when she finds out that God heard her prayers? That's one of my favorite lines in the scripture, where it says that he says to Zechariah, God heard your prayers. And I love the line earlier that Elizabeth, who we've been using the frame as a symbol for us, when the characters are inside the frame, they're representing what we believe or what we know about the story. But it's when they step outside the frame, they become more real. We've been making the comparison that you can't Instagram these stories. You can't make the Zechariah and Elizabeth story look better until we find out that John is going to be born. You can't make the story of a 14-year-old girl who becomes pregnant and before she's married, you can't make that story look good until we find out that it was the Holy Spirit that came upon her. Until we find out that she said, let it be to me as you have said. Until we find out that the son that she will give birth to is the Messiah. You see, there was a whole host of realities that each of these characters had to deal with. Next week, we're going to look at Mary. This week, we're looking at Elizabeth. I mean, a barren woman who now all of a sudden is going to give birth. Now, I've never given birth, but I've been there, and I can tell you that pains of childbirth quickly go away. In fact, we were having a conversation about this and the realization that you don't even realize what happens after you've given birth. The doctor puts your tiny little human on your chest and all of a sudden all the pain and all the feeling goes away and all you can think about in that moment, and ladies, am I correct, moms who have had children, that the only thing in that moment is that there is incredible joy. But we also can't forget that there are many ladies that haven't experienced that joy for reasons that we may never know. But the amazing thing is that Elizabeth this morning stands in the gap with you. Elizabeth this morning understands what it means to go 88 years and to be barren. Elizabeth understands that joy wasn't something that she easily felt. But as we focus on the end of the story, we recognize that it was joy nonetheless. Last week I focused on the fact that we wait and we wait. And the longer we wait, the more hope that we lose. Well, today, I want us to just quickly share with you that sometimes when we wait and we wait and we wait, it leads to incredible joy. For the longer we wait, the more joy that we have when the waiting is over. I gave the example of Noah. Noah was on the ark for 364 days. Do you imagine? Noah was on an ark with every species of animal known to man and his family for close to a year. Now, folks, I think that joy is what he experienced when he finally got off the boat. In fact, well, we're not going to go into the details of how joyful Noah was when he got off of the boat, but we know that when that boat finally landed and that dove brought back a branch symbolizing that there was life. And then when he saw that rainbow in the sky, joy is what filled his soul. We talked about Israel being enslaved for 430 years in Egypt. The amazing thing as we look at the story is they're leaving Jerusalem. As they're leaving Egypt, they're singing praises to God and their joy is so felt and seen. Unfortunately, we like Israelites, they forgot their joy. And at one point they turned around and they were like, what did you call us out here to die? How soon we forget too that it's Jesus who delivers us. It's Jesus who redeems us. It's Jesus who brings us out of the slavery of our sin. Let's not soon forget. And let's not turn to God and say, what did you do? Bring me out here to die. Let's not forget our joy. For 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. And it was after that that we see this incredible joy as they got to inherit the promised land. And then for 70 years, they were in Babylon, exiled to Babylon. Those were lean years for the nation of Israel. But what do we find in Hosea? What do we find in Zechariah? What do we find? We see the exiled Israelites coming home, and they're seeing a pagan king restore their temple. That only can happen with the work of God's hand. And joy was restored to the people. And then I've already mentioned it, but one of my favorite points of joy as we look at the story of Jesus is the disciples waited 3 days. They waited 3 days, and they were so discouraged. They couldn't understand what was happening. They didn't understand what was going on. In fact, Thomas didn't believe it. But as they stood in that room 3 days later, Jesus appeared to them, and their joy was restored. Here's the amazing thing. The last song that the kids sang for us, a part of that song was Joy to the World. It's a song that we're familiar with. It's a Christmas hymn by Isaac Watts. And you've heard maybe me say this before, but I just want to reiterate it again. Isaac Watts never intended Joy to the World to be sung at Christmas. His intention with singing the song Joy to the World was to remind us, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Meaning he has come and he's coming again. And that the Savior of the world is going to come again. When he wrote the song Joy to the World, he had the returning Messiah in mind. And so the good news for us is that we sing it at Christmas time because we are in preparation for Advent. The word Advent literally simply means to come or arrival. You see, because the reality is some things are worth waiting for. Because when they happen, joy is the only emotion to describe it. Psalm 30, verse 5, tells us that weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. Joy comes with the morning. Some of you today might be in a series or you might be in a season of weeping. Can I just tell you that joy comes in the morning, that his mercies are new every morning? And finally, I want to point out to you that Jesus tried to prepare the disciples. He had talked about the fact that he was going to be turned over to the Roman officials. He talked about the fact that he was going to be betrayed and that he was going to be brutally beaten. And he told them all of these things, and they didn't quite understand. And he always told them to have hope because he was going to come back. In fact, in John 16, verses 19 through 24, as we close, it says, Jesus realized that they wanted to ask him about it. So he said, are you asking yourselves what I meant? I said, in a little while you won't see me, but a little while after that you will see me again. I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. It will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice. And no one can rob you of that joy. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask my Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. You see, the reality for the disciples who were sitting there that day, as Jesus was telling them, listen, I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to be crucified, but I'm going to come back. In that moment, they didn't quite understand it. And I think for us, many of us, as we sit here this morning, we too find ourselves in the same boat. We too find ourselves in that period of waiting, because Jesus says as he ascended into heaven, and lo, I'll be with you always. He says, and I will come again. We know through scripture that he is going to be returning, and so we too are in that period of waiting. But I want to encourage you, and I'm going to read this scripture again, but this time I want you to read it from the perspective of where you are and what Jesus is saying to you today. Are you asking yourselves what I meant? I said in a little while you won't see me, but a little while after that you will see me again. I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. It will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice. And no one can rob you of that joy. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask my Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. Let's stand together. I want to encourage you during this season of Advent to remember that although pain lasts for the night, joy comes in the morning. The dawning of a new day is the dawning of his new mercies and the joy that we can proclaim. So I want to encourage you now, folks, shout it out. Let the whole world hear. Shout it out that Jesus is here. Amen. I encourage you just to hold out your hands and to receive this benediction as well. We'll have it up on the screens here and to say it with us as we close this morning. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you are sent.